Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, everyone, hello, this is Red Men Radio. We started numbering these and inevitably it's fallen entirely by the wayside.
Let's just go with one.
Effectively, it's the one after Man City and before Sevilla. I won't go into any more detail than that because I don't really want to, but
it's a big Champions League game tomorrow.
Big Champions League.
Wednesday night, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have to talk about Man City, so we're going to, unfortunately. But let's look, Chris.
No, I'm not opening my eyes because you're going to ask me to look on the bright.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I'm not at all.
Well, I'm still not opening my eyes.
I'm going to ask you to look quite on the opposite. I want to talk about your worst footballing experience.
That was it.
Now, you've had, funnily enough, I think your previous worst footballing experience also came against Man City.
Did it?
League Cup final.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about that one. Yeah. That one had been completely picked up, put in a little box and forgotten about.
Yeah. So, for those who are new to the podcast and whatever, you're welcome first and foremost.
Hi.
Thanks, we like you guys.
I'm Chris.
This is Chris and I'm Paul. We watch Liverpool a lot. I was sat in the Red Men studio for this game because we couldn't get more than one ticket. You got the ticket. You were very, very happy with your decision to get the ticket. You went to the game. Try your best to sum up to the listeners. Aside from the fact that Liverpool got annihilated by Man City, we've seen Liverpool lose games before. What made it the worst experience?
Well, I'll sum it up first in a noise. Right, that was my experience summed up in one noise, okay? What made it a bad experience, Paul? Okay, so I'm driving down the motorway. It's the first away game I've ever been to on my own. I'm racking my brain. I can't think of one that I've been to. So I drove down the motorway, not far. I'm thinking to myself, it's 40 minutes. It's laughing. I just listened to some music. I listened to Dookie by Green Day. It was great, by the way.
Perfect.
Most people's favourite Green Day album. My second favourite after Nimrod.
Nimrod.
Anyway, so, apart from the fact that I couldn't see more than 5 yards in front of me because of the rain, it was a decent little drive in the 50-mile-an-hour zones, which, Manchester, pain in the bum, by the way. So, yeah, get there, absolutely fine. Went to find the car parking space. We stayed there 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. That derelict building is now shut down. They've obviously decided that that's unsafe, which it was unsafe 2 years ago.
Pretty unsafe.
Yeah, it's fine. It's found somewhere else, £8 parking, no problem. Ran over a cone, I came over, I was like, you've run over a cone. I was like, I didn't see the cone.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to run over the cone. Anyway.
Kind of the tale of the night.
It was pretty much the way that it went. Yeah. So finally parked my car, get out there, go to the car. I'm like, yeah, brilliant. This is going to be awesome. Went to some kind of mad Chelsea flower show because Manchester City have got flowers everywhere and segregation. It doesn't really matter. Get into the game. have a nice chat with some guys who watch Redmen for half an hour before the game, go in, get some film and done in the front of the stadium. Brilliant. And 4 rows from the pitch, it stopped raining at this point. Like, oh, this is fucking sound, this is box. Like, wish I was up there with all the rest of the, you know, the singing sections of Liverpool fans and stuff. But, you know, 4 rows, great for filming some content and all that type of stuff. And walk to my seat. I am the seat next to the Manchester City fans with just police and security in between us. And I'm thinking to myself, no. I don't want to be here. Some people enjoy that side of football.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not something that I'm really into.
So,
like.
So as a little aside from this, I'm going to talk a little bit more about my week later on. I went to the Premier Sports Network conference. I was speaking there. I was talking to one of the commercial director for AFC Wimbledon, who was relaying a story about Millwall and how they have fans who sit in those seats. And one guy was filmed once, literally did not once look at the game. He just looked at the opposition fans and made the... gesture for 90 minutes, which if you're watching the video version, this will obviously make more sense. But yeah, the thumb across the throat, you're dead expression. So some people are born for that.
Yeah.
It's not my game, Chris.
It's not my game. I'm not there for it. And here's the thing, you know, people recognise us.
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to get recognised here and it's going to be City fans.
And did you?
Yeah. As the second goal goes in, there's people over, you won't be able to see this, but essentially there's two small fences. Now, one of them has a little ledge where you can put your foot on, so people are standing on that, leaning over the fence, screaming at Liverpool fans and all that, and then all I hear, and I look to me, and all I hear is, Rent Boy. And I look over, and it's some guy with a scruffy little beard, looks like a friggin' ferret, screaming Rent Boy at me. And I thought, ah, shit. This is how it's going to go, isn't it? And at this point, the heavens have reopened, and I'm too far forward that the roof doesn't cover me, so I'm just getting pissed on, and some guys screaming Rent Boy as they're made up because Liverpool now 2-0 down and a man down. And then for the third, fourth, and fifth goals, he brought his mates to find me as well. So I turned around, and there's six of them hanging over the fence screaming Rent Boy at me, which was absolutely lovely, Paul. I thoroughly enjoyed my afternoon in sunny, sunny fucking Manchester.
And then you'd have to drive all the way back in the pissing rain as well.
Yeah, I mean, you've missed the 30 minutes sit in the car park and try and wait to get out of there. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it was a great afternoon that I've really enjoyed, Paul.
Yeah.
Won't be doing that again. You know the worst thing is I've not told you this since. I got offered the ticket for you at 11 o'clock and I thought, there's no way he's going to fucking come down here at 11. I turned it down. It was face value as well. I was thinking, he probably fucking might, but he probably won't. He'll probably be comfortable. I know he's got the new Pro Evolution Soccer, so he'll be absolutely laughing
you
playing
know what's
that.
Like, I almost admit, I was genuinely gutted to miss that game because we've had some good laughs at the Etihad, like, particularly the aforementioned a couple of years ago. I don't know whether I probably would have gone, but I agreed. Your misery made mine seem better. I've had this conversation with the boys. I don't think it makes me a bad person. It probably makes me a bad person.
It makes you a bad person.
But I'm fine with that.
But we're all bad people.
We're all bad people, you know, whether we're fucking people up on eBay or whether we're just...
They all float down here.
I enjoy. And then let me say enjoy. I'm made happier or more comforted by, I'm not saying this right, the misfortune of others.
So, did you watch Match of the Day?
No.
What did you do?
I watched Fail Army. I watched about 2 hours of people hurting themselves on the internet. I felt tremendous. I was crying with laughter at times watching some of this stuff, and it made me feel loads better. I wallowed in my own horrendous humanity, and it was fine. I managed to get over it, and then periodically I had to see some more stuff about the results, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I haven't got a football experience that comes close to the top. But I know the only one is Newcastle away 2 seasons
Newcastle
ago.
Newcastle away was a bad day for us.
I had the flu and I didn't realise it. I just thought it was...
You didn't realise? Well, I realised, Paul. Yeah. I really realised that you had the flu that
I just knew it was under the weather. I felt really bad and I just pressed on. I took a lot of painkillers in it. And like at the peak of the painkillers, which was about 15 minutes of every four-hour cycle, I felt capable of moving. And we drove to Newcastle and the roads were flooded. Yeah, so we kept getting to a road.
We were
and
literally
not being,
under the weather.
Yeah, not being...
The roads were under the weather too, Paul. The water.
Literally. Not being able to find
our
way to the ground.
We nearly ended up in Scotland to try and get to Newcastle.
We did. We took the scenic route because of fuck the A1.
Do you remember when we drove through that puddle and we were unsure of how deep it
yes,
was?
Yes.
And we weren't sure whether to go on.
Having watched the number of fail army videos, we had the potential to be those type of arseholes. But yeah, we eventually made it to St James's Park. I had to climb up the highest stand in the history of away stands, and I just wanted to die. And then Liverpool got comprehensively beaten. And then we had to drive it all back again as well. It was fucking terrible.
Yeah, and normally when we go to the away games and stuff, we split it. So whoever drives doesn't do the editing, but Paul was too ill to edit.
Literally couldn't.
So it was like 11:30. We were just outside of Newcastle and we had to pull up in the fair service station so that I could edit all the fucking videos while you just sat there with your hood up in the fucking service station. I'm thinking to myself, fucking die, Paul. Will you at least make it fucking worthwhile
that
for me?
That was genuinely terrible.
But then it was literally the same. You had it the exact same for the cup final.
For the cup final, yeah. When you were dead ill and had to go for a sleep in the build-up.
You were, I remember, I'm not sure if we were on the M6
We were
or
just
not,
about to get on the M6.
And you were going, do you want me to take you over?
I turned around to you because you were going, oh, and I went, right, I'm going to say this to you right now. If you don't feel well, go home. I won't think anything less of you, but I can't do this if this is what it's going to be like. And you're like, no, it's all right, I'll get through it. And yeah, you missed the pre-match festivities by trying to sleep in the car. Sleeping and pooing was a lot of the match build-up for that one. And yeah, that was a shit day.
Still not as bad as when we went to CBDI. Were you with us that time?
I watched with you that time, yeah. Fucking I was
hell.
The only one who stayed with you.
I was similar 13 issues. Similar issues. Showed a fucking hour and a half gig, I had.
Yep, very small arena. I think you went in the ladies' toilet.
I did go
point.
In the ladies' toilet. That was embarrassing. Just holding on to each other. Like, yeah,
there's that bit in there.
You know the queues in women's toilets?
Yeah.
There's big queues. When you're walking back past the queue,
yeah,
and you've just destroyed their toilet. Don't be that guy.
So yeah, that was a bad weekend with the football. Little bit of news that broke just before we started recording that Liverpool apparently appealing Sadio Mane's red card.
Beast.
We'll know a little bit more about that on the Tuesday. But good. I'm glad they're having a go of it. Why not? I mean, if it leads to a four match ban, that would be devastating. But nevertheless, so just a little something. So I was at the this Premier Sports Network event. I was asked to speak about fan engagement, and it was I've mentioned this on, I think I put it on Facebook. Most people won't get me on Facebook because I don't add randoms anymore. But I did effectively tell the guy who's the head of digital for BBC Sports, sorry, that all of their content was boring and po-faced. I think I think he used the expression, I take umbrage at that remark.
Yeah. I wouldn't, because I've heard you say it to plenty of people. You do it fairly regularly. Yeah. Anyone who knows you will know that you just say
what's,
it.
What's dead funny is I was going to talk about it because I was talking about fan engagement and saying how what does my head in is how BBC shoe on a few tweets in and think that quantifies fan engagement. And I was going to say that, and then I saw who I was on the panel with, and I was like, oh, my pummy punches here. And then I never. And then, fuck it, mate. But he also went on to say, oh, well, you know, we're the BBC and we have to present things from both perspectives. And that's fine, I get. I have no problem
Get two fans, I have one from each club.
Exactly. But I have no problem with how they do it, because you can't change how they do it, because it's institutionalised. Match of day is what it is. And he said, look, I'm not saying me and Robbie have, because Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV was on the panel as well. Pardon me, I'm not saying me and Robbie have to go on there, because that would be weird. And he made some comments about how they did that to keep a fresh environment. And to be honest, look what happened when you had Russell Brand on there. It was just weird, wasn't it? And like, you know, I never let it lie on it. And it was good. But it was a mad thing, because I got chatting to people who were like, the commercial director for AC Milan was mad. And listening to like the Italian, get on this for Italian football's troubles with engaging with fans. Some people who listen might be able to corroborate more of this and be a bit more accurate. This is like second-hand information. The guy was Dutch, so his English was excellent, but this is my interpretation of it. People at the top end of football clubs, they're basically not really allowed to communicate with fan groups. They have to be like a designated representative for the fan group and the club, and they're not allowed to have any more than a set amount of communication, because so many of the top football clubs in Italy have got so much strong ties to the mafia and Italian organised crime, that there's potential of like corruption. You know, there's bits of them getting to them.
It's plausible deniability almost, because you put somebody there who can't say something to another facet of the football
club. And also more that, you know, you limit the exposure, because it means it's harder for them to be coerced and that kind of stuff as well. So yeah, Italian footy, mate. And like, so there's been a lot about, and it'd be interesting to say, I don't know whether it's come out in the public.
He paid for his playing tickets over there.
Yeah,
I'd have been asking him that.
Yeah, but he's just been let go for similar things. I think that he's saying along the lines of like the AC Milan having a bit of a restructuring thing to make sure that all free and clear of troubles and stuff. Juve are meant to be in big trouble as well, looming on the horizon. So yeah, what's the space for all that kind of stuff? Like
breaking news.
Not really, but well, it's funny. But yeah, the other interesting was that was talking to AFC Wimbledon and stuff like, because that's mad. I love that football club so much. But boss, very very interesting. A very interesting occasion.
Should we talk about wrestling for a bit?
I wish there was more wrestling questions, mate, but there aren't. Let's talk instead about Sevilla.
Okay.
We did a bit of this
football
on the
football team or the Oranges.
What have you got to say about the Oranges?
I like them.
Big fan.
Yeah, make good marmalade.
Are they more a full sized orange or a more of a Satsuma size?
I think they're more of a full sized orange.
More full sized.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
There's no way known whatsoever.
Let's talk about the football team. Then I know a little bit more about the football team. Maybe a little bit more.
The team that we call Liverpool. Sevilla on Wednesday. Inevitably, we've talked about the build-up and getting hyped for it. But what will inevitably happen is we will not have time to think about the match until we get out the car at Anfield on Wednesday.
It's normally the way. And I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing sometimes, because I used to get a lot more nervous for footy matches than I do now. So in some ways, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But then equally, I think when you're 15 minutes away from the ground, I'm not in the right headspace sometimes. Yeah. And you need to sort of build up into that. So I get really nervous for footy games, generally speaking, the big ones. And maybe it's a good thing that we are a little bit busy and we just get down to Anfield and go, right, fuck, the teams are out here. Yeah. What's going on? Like,
what time is it? Teams are out.
Yeah. But then that 15 to 20 minute walk down to the ground is sometimes the fucking best. When everything is a fucking possibility and all the fucking hopes there, it's like pre-season all over again, isn't it? Anything can fucking happen.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of being a football fan. And then inevitably, like what happened at Hoffenheim is, as soon as that Champions League music started, goosebumps. Hmm. Absolute goosebumps. And I can't wait to have that properly.
My favourite thing about it is the Champions League music's fine. It's the fact that we sing over it.
Mm.
I fucking love. I love the fact that it's like we're all desperate to be in the Champions League. It's the biggest thing that's happened to Liverpool in a few years. It's great that we're back there. You know, we've been scrapping. We're desperate to get back in that competition. And a lot of clubs would sit there and go, the champions. And we're like, fuck you and your fucking flag and your fucking song.
And your music's boss and your fucking, your big round balls boss in the middle of the pitch, but our song's better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So sod off.
Yeah, completely love it. But it's interesting. I was doing a bit about the Champions League on Social Club. Have you seen Spurs's run of fixtures?
No, I heard you mention it before.
So I'm going to have to get it up because it makes me feel loads better. Again, I told you, I'm a big fan of the misery of other people. That makes me sound like some sort of Nazi, but I'm not. I like slapstick humour and I like knowing that other people are in worse situations than me because it gives my life context. But I'll have a quick look for this. How important do you think it is anyway that Liverpool get these 3 points on the board, get the Champions League campaign off and running properly?
Well, it's obviously massively important, but I don't think it's the end of the world. And I said this on the build-up show, I don't think it's the end of the world if we don't get the 3 points. You know, I think it's more for the fan base. I think it's more because of the City result that we need this. You know, you never want to lose two games in a week. You don't want to lose against one of your biggest rivals in Manchester City, and you don't want to lose in your first game of the Champions League. That's just the way it is. But I think sometimes we forget, and you've got to put context on situations like what you've just said there, Paul. And that is that it's a six-game group.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and you know, you can stumble and you can still make it through, but that's not how we want to do it. I'm not advocating that that's the way that Liverpool go about it. Yeah. Liverpool have to go about it to win, because the confidence that we'll get from going and beating Sevilla and a team that we owe them one for what happened in the Europa League final a couple of years ago, we've got to go out there and give it our all. We've got to give the fans something to sing about, because quite frankly, on Saturday, we had nothing to sing about, mate, and that's not good enough from a Liverpool team for me.
The good thing about what Liverpool do, generally speaking, but definitely under Jurgen Klopp, is that we very rarely put two poor performances back to back. And in some respects, we didn't need G'ing up for the Man City game, but you know, the rug got pulled with us for whatever whole host of reasons. And if you want actually more on those reasons, we did the Final Word podcast on the redmantv.com. Please do go and listen to that. I don't want to retread too much stuff over that, but it did. It felt a shit against Man City, without a doubt, and that was unacceptable, regardless of the extenuating circumstances of Mane and whatever. This game, though, that's got to be used as fire for the team, because there will be people out there who will be looking at going, who will take the context away from the Man City game, and they'll look at it and say Liverpool got smashed by a rival, by a big team. That shows where Liverpool are. Shows that Liverpool don't deserve to be at the top table, etc., etc. As Jurgen Klopp, I'd be finding some of those articles and all that kind of stuff. I'd be putting them up in the Rocky style. I'd be putting them up in the changing room mirrors and all that, and saying, these people think you're going to come and be a laughing stock in the Champions League here, lads. They think you don't deserve to be. They think you're not good enough to be here. Sevilla are going to come into town, third in La Liga. They're flying at the moment. They've got the pedigree. They've got a recent European pedigree. They're the team that have got the win over you most recently. Go in and fuck them up. And I hope that's served.
We've got the team to do it as well, Paul. Yeah. We've got the team to do it. We've got the stadium to do it. We've got the fans to be able to do it as well. Like, I don't know if there's a coach welcoming, but I would happily be on that if there was one, because that one against Villarreal was magic. Like, I mean, apart from the fact that we booted the wrong bus and stuff like
that. No, the Villarreal was fine because they had the big yellow bus.
Fine? Was that fine? Which one was it?
Southampton, the one we got wrong.
Yeah, well, okay.
When I found that out after the boys coaching up, that I've been booing the Liverpool coach, yeah, absolutely. Less said about that again, the better. I agree. I'd be bang up for that. I just quickly then back onto the Spurs thing. Yeah, get onto this. So this is from the 14th of October onwards, and it starts with Tottenham at home to Bournemouth, and you might think, okay,
that's all right,
that's fine. Bournemouth have been terrible this season. That's an easy 3 points. Tuesday, the 17th of October, Real Madrid away.
Ouch.
Okay. Always followed tough. By Sunday at home, Liverpool.
Tough game.
Followed the following game, the Saturday, away to Manchester United.
Ouch.
Yeah. Then we move into November. Real Madrid. Real Madrid at home, followed by Crystal Palace at home, followed by Arsenal away, followed by Borussia Dortmund away.
You're kidding.
So they play in the space of like 5 weeks. They play Real Madrid twice, they play Borussia Dortmund, they play us, they play Arsenal, and they've got the weird games of Crystal Palace in there as well.
I think I'm right in saying that between Real Madrid, Manchester United and Liverpool and Arsenal, there's 19 European Cups there. And none of them come from Arsenal, Paul. No. Absolutely.
So that's it. That made me feel loads better about Liverpool's situation. But ultimately, this is why I was a bit nervous about this. And I did say at the time I wanted Spurs as Champions League group. Because I want those big games. I want us to be tested in the big teams.
Put them in the middle of your Premier League calendar.
Put them in our Premier League calendar, and that would make things slightly different. We're okay. I think, you know, we haven't got one of the big teams until at the back end. You know, we've got our tough run. We haven't got one of those, like, we haven't got three big Premier League game, big Champions League game, big Premier League game, back-to-back kind of situation. We're not too bad, albeit inevitably those are the teams, they're not the big teams, the ones we've struggled against the most.
Not this year.
I wouldn't want Spurs' run of fixtures, having decided I wanted their group at the draw stage. But for me, again, we're in that awkward situation, I think, where the Champions League's great, but will we be able, as fans, to get ourselves up to the level? Because you did it great last season. You talked about entitlements. I think this pervades Liverpool's fan culture big time, and I wish it would. Let's get it in the bin again. Let's put entitlement back in the bin again. But it's this notion of we need to have a big. It needs to be a big team for it to be a big atmosphere. Remember this debate over coach greetings for the end of the season, and people said we should only use it for big teams or big games, as though to do it for a game that we don't class as being a big game is to denigrate. To make Liverpool seem smaller somehow, if that makes sense.
Yeah, mate, I completely disagree with that. I'd do it every game. you know, I realised that it's difficult to do it every single game because people have got, you know, life and stuff to live other than the football and that. Like, but if I had a completely free weekend and there was a coach meeting every single Saturday or whatever at Anfield, I'd be there all the time because that's what being a part of it, that's what being the supporter of your football club is. And, you know, there's a togetherness where you go to stuff like that, and it's us versus them, and that's what it's about. And, you know, you make them shit themselves. And the footy isn't just the 90 minutes of watching the footy. It's getting in there beforehand. It's soaking up the atmosphere. I love singing songs before the game started. Yeah, Paul, it's one of my favourite things because you're just walking around going, look at all these people. They're just singing because they might be able to hear us. And they're not even asked if they can hear us in there. They're singing because we all stand together as one on this. And that's what being a football fan is, man.
Yeah, completely agree on that. And that's the problem is that I think that mentality, a lot of those people it's people who throw the accepting a mediocrity thing and not treating every Liverpool game like it's fucking massive, like it's the biggest thing that's happened to your week. I think that's the real.
I look around at teams like Dortmund and I look at their fan base and I look at their fans and I'm hell jealous, mate. Yeah. I am absolutely. I'm like, look at them bouncing against the team who's bottom of the Bundesliga. Yeah. Does it fucking matter to them? No. Why are they there? Because they support their team.
Yeah.
And does it matter who they're playing? Yeah. Because they know that they can affect the football, and that's what it's all about. Like, and it's got to be. Every football match is fucking massive because everything has a knock-on effect through your season. You know, first game of the season against Watford, it's a big game.
Yeah.
Now, I know you think, you know, I know your personal views are on it, like it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, and you're absolutely right, but it does have a knock-on effect into everything else,
because
ultimately that 1 point could have been three and that could have been the difference. You never know when that difference is going to be made.
My point on that is more about how people lose their shit over one result when it goes bad. Is that, listen, if you win every game of football, you're going to win everything that you fucking want to achieve in life. But the point is more that it's the not throwing the baby out with the bathwater thing, is that you can lose games at the early point of the season and still have a phenomenal season, is more the point on that. But yeah, for me, I just think we should get into this mentality of, like I say, it's just because I think football's become a bit of a burden to some people, and I get it, fucking hell, you know, you can't complain when your job's footy, it's great, best job I've ever had, but you do get worn down by footy, you can't help it, because when your job is impacted or your life is impacted by actions out of your control, that wearies you no matter what industry or whatever you work at. If your happiness is dictated by 11 fellas running around, and then, like Saturday is an example of it, a red card completely out of the blue basically writes off two days of your life become really fucking miserable. But for a lot of people, and you know, maybe me to some extent, it's 4 days or 5 days. You've got to wait. It can't be right until Liverpool win another football match.
Mm.
So, you know, it is tough being a football fan, but this is why I think you have to get what you can from it to the best of your ability.
But, you know, I went on a bit of a thing. I can't remember if it was the back end of the last season. It was probably the back end of the last season, talking about the Arsenal fans and the entitlement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And about how there's always money mentioned. And I was in the co-op by ours, and fit. One of the guys works there, he knows that we do Red Men TV and stuff, and he chats to me all the time. He's a really nice guy, like massive Liverpool fan. And he goes, how much was the ticket after the game? And I'm thinking, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I paid for the experience of going and supporting the fucking team. And I was as shit as an experience I had, I never equated it to the money that I paid for the ticket, because it's just not what you pay for. You don't pay to go and see your team win. Yeah. You pay to go and support your team and see if they can win.
This is the added expectation you put on things, isn't it? That's the problem. That's the problem with it. Like, I can't even remember the exact figure, but like the money we paid to get in the ground for the Europa League final was just fucking ludicrous. Like, you know what I mean, ludicrous, embarrassing amount of money. But it was a thing to do. We chose to do it. We went for it, and it's the thing you live by. You're right. You pay for experiences in life. Now, if you want a sure thing, go to the theatre or go to pitches. And even then, you can go to both of them. You can get bad performances or shit films. That's the problem with football, is that it's not the same. It's a gamble, isn't it? You're complicit in it. You turn up and it's out of your hands. It's like, there's a difference between playing a computer game and playing on a freak machine. You can entertain yourself. You can pay. You could probably put 50 quid into a computer game and put the same 50 quid into a freak machine. Now, you could probably get more back out of doing a freak machine because you've got a little thrill. You could win a bit of dough, but you could fucking come out just as a fucking empty-handed, and you're done you know, that's the problem with it all, isn't it? And I what you're saying though, the Dortmund thing's right. I think Liverpool needs to get into the habit, and I don't know how we do this. Hopefully, the Champions League does it. If we can get up for Sevilla, Maribor, and Spartak at home, three teams that there's probably a section of our fan base who think that we're much bigger and more important than those teams. And my God, they're right. maybe it's a little message to the people who don't go to the league games, or maybe it's a message to us as a team or as a fan base in general to say, you know what, if we did this every week, imagine what we could achieve if we did it.
That's what it's about, isn't it? And look, I get really pissed off sometimes when I go to Anfield, and it is one of those smaller games, and it's like going to the match has become part of somebody's routine, yeah. And they don't enjoy it anymore. They just do it because they've always fucking done it, and they've lost that
spark
for it. And that's not what going to footy is.
It was when we talked about this after the what game was it? It was probably the Hoffenheim. It would have been the Hoffenheim game, and the atmosphere was just different. Now I've been to night games, so it's not the night game thing, because I've been to shit atmosphere night games before. Although
West Ham is normally a. Yeah. Stoke on a Monday night.
I mean, the atmosphere is always better on a night game in general, but still, nevertheless. Liverpool should rededicate all their efforts. They should fuck off trying to buy players, and they should fuck off all these extra things. They should fuck off all these sponsorships, all these things that Liverpool are putting money into right now. They should sack that off, and they should dedicate every spare penny they've got into research, into finding out what's different about Anfield on a European night. Is it the people? Is it the type of people? Because if it's as simple as there's just a core of fellas who just come back out for European games, then you know what I'd do? I'd turn around to those guys and go, here's your season tickets. There's your season tickets. Have them. Have them for life. Or have them until you feel that you're not capable of delivering and we'll monitor you. You know what I mean? Whatever. Big brother it. Because this is one of the things I learned from this Prem Sport Network. The companies who are capable of doing that now, they're capable of finding out data about people. They could tell you, anyone who's on the Liverpool Wi-Fi now, you could literally find out, like, there's so where much data you can pick up on people and what the movements around the stadium are, where they're standing, sitting, moving, what they're looking at, etc. Find out what at the crux is different about it, and then do everything in your power to bottle that and fucking replicate it out for game on game.
I think that their research might show that the people who go to the Champions League games aren't on the fucking Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So they're fucked.
They will have a black spot, but that's what I mean. They'll have to be an absence of data in a section of them, right in the middle of
them. I need to get them into the ground more often. The ones who aren't on the phones, and this is bad because I am on my phone during the game.
Fucking brilliant line actually from that thing. The commercial director for PSV Eindhoven. Told the story about them, and they were building up the fan Wi-Fi in the ground. They finally got it working, and they announced it was going to be up and running for this game. And the PSV fans unveiled a banner that said "Fuck Wi-Fi, support the team."
Perfect. Perfect. Need to go to no fucking conference to work that out, did I?
But imagine, like, and that's the thing. I saw someone tweeting about this, and like, I got no problem with the Wi-Fi. It helps our job a little bit having the Wi-Fi, yeah. But the. You know, again, if there was a total black, I mean, it's hard to get a signal one way or the other. If there was a total black, you just deal with it. You dealt with it for years prior to that.
You just tweet updating, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's what you'd have to do. You'd have to turn off your mobile data, and you'd have to just text if you want to get signals out, generally speaking, from the ground. But it should be, like I say, there's something. There's a magical X factor. And given the technology that I've seen, demos and the levels to which people are investigating the fan experience and what have you, that's where Liverpool's money should be going for me, is to find out exactly what the answer is. So to the best of their ability, test it, replicate it, find out some answers. But this is the point, you need to find these answers out, because if we could find that equation out, X plus Y equals fucking Z, then Liverpool have absolutely cracked it there. Because it's a different experience, completely different. And that's what I say.
What's your gut on it? Why?
I think it's the thing of different people go to that game. I think maybe it's a perfect storm of, there's probably some of the old school Reds that just live for the European nights and make sure they're there for that. Maybe these people come back in for these games or whatever. And then it's the fact that you've had time to have a bevy. There's no pressure on you to get home after it because you don't need to get home to cook the tea. So you don't need to fucking get off. You can get there. You come straight from work. And
everyone's had a few beers.
Yeah, you got that bit of freedom around it, and again under the lights, and the fact that Liverpool have just got that aura around them in the Champions League, which means there's just a natural confidence I think that we exude as fans in those situations because it's like genetic almost. Like we feel more comfortable in those situations. It's weird. I'd like to think it was simple.
Do you know what I think it comes down to? In much the same way that I think the league games have become part of people's weekly experience, and once something you become used to it, you become less enthused for it.
Yeah.
Right. The Premier League has now become just part of everybody's week. The Champions League is still something new, yeah, and still something different and still something fucking shiny,
yeah,
that people can get up for. And I wonder whether the way to do it is to just go, there's no auto cup scheme here. And that's shit for everybody who's, yeah, a season ticket holder. Don't get me wrong, but you are going to get everybody there fighting for fucking tickets. And when you fight for something and you get there,
yeah,
you know what it's like? It's like you've not been to Glastonbury, but you've been to festivals, so you'll understand this. You get to a festival and you completely go absolutely blotto and kill yourself on the first day, essentially. You drink all your drink that you've brought with you. You've brought four crates. You demolish all of that. And yeah, you go, and then you spend the second day before the band's even on just trying to recover from it. Because you can't control yourself. You're there. You're so, yeah, fucking excited to be there. And, yeah, you start drinking fucking everything. And it's all fucking gone. And you've drank too much. And you can't deal with it.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with it the next day. That's what the Champions League is like. You get there and you're just like, yes, I'm finally fucking here. Sing your heart, yeah, out and shout and all that, yeah, that's what it's like.
You and I have a very different festival experience, but yes, you're right. I think that's what it is. I think it just, yeah, works hard, life's hard, it's a big fucking grind. Everyone hates everything about life these days, and unfortunately football, as you say, has become part of that. You have to, I mean, this is not true, this is why football is a young lad's game, because you should be able to go to this thing without pressure. But unfortunately, even those young lads who are without responsibilities and without bedtimes and bath times and all these kind of things, it's the financial side that's worrying them, because it means that they're sacrificing going out for the other 2 days with all the mates, and which is what, when 10 of your mates are going out and you can't afford to go because you've gone the footy, well, you know what I mean? You do anything you can to go out, don't you? That's the problem. People's minds don't work that way, do they? But I think you're right. In having the Champions League experience, it's a calendar thing. You mark it. It's a special date. It's something different and out the ordinary. You look forward to it. And fingers crossed, we have a lot more of that this year.
And it's hump day as well, so throw a new, yeah, thing in there.
Yeah,
so it's the middle of the week, Wednesday. It's the shittest day of the week because you've had 2 days of work. You've got another two to look forward to. Hump day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get to some of your questions then. Ellis Paddy Jones on Twitter says, do you eat Pringles? And if so, what is your favourite flavour?
I do eat Pringles, and it was always sour cream and...
It was always sour cream and chive?
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. However...
They've fucked around with the fucking recipe, haven't they? Like, absolutely.
Fuck you, Pringles.
Why would you do that to me? You know what I mean? I'm a creature of habit. I still fucking order them, and I still fucking buy them.
You know what else has changed like that? Lucozade Orange. They've taken sugar out of it, and it's just, they've reduced the sugar and it doesn't taste the same. Fuck you, Lucozade. They were giving free cans out the other day, and it went, no, reduce sugar. I was like, That's why it's been tasting like shite for fucking weeks, because they've made... I don't drink Lucozade because I'm arsed about sugar. You know, I want 50% of my daily sugar recommended intake in 330 mils or whatever it is. I want it. Give it to me, Lucozade. Don't drink your drink because I want to be healthy. I'll drink water if I want to be healthy. I've never drank water in my life.
Good on you, Paul.
Oh, no.
Good on you, mate. It's paprika now.
I bought all the barbecue ones are nice, yeah, as well. You know, actually, the tortilla ones they do, fucking get points of that, because here's a point and you're going to have it or else. The tortilla chip ones that they do are like crack.
Are they?
Yeah, just the normals, like salt, lightly salted ones or whatever. They are basically crack and crisp.
I will have a go with the oldie version.
But they're all right as well, actually. J_Gibb, by the end of the season, who do you think will be regarded as the better player, Mane, Sanchez or Sané? I think it's too soon for Sané, if I'm honest.
I don't think he's in the equation, and I think it's going to be Sadio Mane, and there's a couple of reasons. A, he's fucking amazing, first and foremost. B, Liverpool will have had a better season than Arsenal.
Mm, yeah. I agree with that. I think Sanchez is great, but I think Mane is going to be the breakout player. Pranav, PA19. Can deep learning be used in footy to create AI models that help coaches predict the outcome of a game given a starting 11?
Footy manager, he did it.
Yeah. J_Gibb comes back. Would depend on the decision making and a great number of factors, player, referee, and manager, as well as personal issues, etc. Be too unreliable. Thanks for answering that because I had no fucking clue.
What's just happened? Where did that tweet come from?
Yes.
This is why the BBC only put them on the screen for a second and don't talk about them, Paul.
Yeah, off the BBC. Okay. Conor Bostock, wrestling question. Favourite pay-per-view, Paul, and what's the best game you've seen live? You can't say Istanbul. So I do this in a general sense because I struggle. You might struggle to name a particular like year pay-per-view unless you've got one.
I remember, I think it was like 1992 SummerSlam where it was outside, I think maybe for one of the first times.
The one at Wembley?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. I think my auntie had Sky and we went round and they recorded it for us. I didn't watch it live, but that kind of just sticks out.
To my memory, because there used to be, that was on Sky Sports, that one. And it was like a 3-hour sort of show and it was shortened down to like 2 hours. It was weird. And it was like, because I remember seeing, they do a lot of this, they film a lot of extra content around main events because they double up on film and we know a lot about that. Probably recorded 50 shows today. And I remember seeing like a match, someone coming down to the ring and then never showed that match. It was always very weird, but that was good. British Bulldog won the Intercontinental title, I think, in that one. God rest his soul. I remember the Legion of Doom coming out. That was a very good thing, but Wembley was good. For me, it's one of the WrestleManias, one of the early. It's either the SummerSlam the year before, I think it is. It was called The Match Made in Heaven and The Match Made in Hell. And it was Macho Man married Miss Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And it was meant to be Hogan and Ultimate Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter and I can't remember who the other guy was.
The policeman.
No, and something happened anyway and it changed and it was, I can't remember, but it was nowhere near as memorable now that I'm trying to recount.
Remember the table, ladders and chairs match between the Hardy Boys and Dudleys. They were amazing and Mankind coming off the top of the cage was just outstanding.
No way out. Anyway, yeah, I think in general, my favourite pay-per-view, if I had to order them though in general things, people cream the kecks over WrestleMania. Great, it's an amazing spectacle and all that. But for me, it's either classic Survivor Series when they used to do the proper teams of five strive to survive, where one man got eliminated and it was about the team, or just a really good Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble's like, and that's probably the last one that us as growing young adults still stuck to, because you could do that game where everyone chucks in a tenner, you draw 30 numbers each, you get your selection numbers depending on how many people you are, and the person who gets that winner gets all the dough. And I remember winning it on like Brock Lesnar coming out second to last or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Nice. Yeah, very, very good indeed. We had some great questions coming in. We're not gonna have too much time for these, but I want to see if we've got Ben Davies. Let's do a little bit of footy _JFT, I would presume 96, correct. Do we have to give Klopp credit for the revival of Alberto Moreno?
I suppose so. I think you've got to give Alberto Moreno credit as well. Yeah. I haven't, you know, ultimately I think, yeah, I'm still shocked that he's our left back. I really am. But you know what, from the back five that played at the week, or the back four, sorry, that played at the weekend, he came out with probably the most credit of all of them. It was a tough game for Trent. Matip and Lovren were sliced apart at will, and Moreno did okay. I don't think it was a great performance. I don't think anybody had a great performance on the day and stuff. But yeah, reintegrating someone who's so clearly not in your plans must be difficult to do, because there was times I see that Moreno could have got games and he just never.
Yeah.
He just never got
it's
them.
It's mad because we joked, I don't know what show it was, when we said, imagine if he just left them there to learn for a year. Like, you know, but he does look, and he's going to have a bad game. And the problem is that every player's got a bad game in them. It's just that I don't think he's like allowed to have a bad game at this point, because if he has one bad game, he'll get all of his good work so far this season will be undone. But I just think he handled himself really well. He's a credit to himself. Hatscarf for a badge. Have you been to hatscarfforabadge.com? I haven't been to the website. Thanks, Mick, for sending that in.
I have totally been to the website.
Have you? Cool. Yeah. I haven't been to the website recently, but I haven't been to the shop in a while, actually. But people ask me, it's by the Flatiron pub just down the road from Liverpool, if you want
to. Yeah,
you got
into a bit of an argument about that the other week, didn't you?
Some guys asked me for the directions to it, and I told them exactly where it was. And they then messaged me later on to say my directions were terrible, and my directions were perfect.
Just, how did you direct him?
I said, go down that road and turn fucking right, and if you hit the Flatiron pub, you've gone too far. And I was spot on, and they got lost because they were clearly idiots. But yeah, go to Hatscarf for a badge. If you go in the game tomorrow, go and get yourself some cool T-shirts and stuff. We don't even have any stuff for sale there. We need to have a chat about that. but yeah, if you want some Red Men merch, Mick, let us know. But yeah, amazing shop, and support obviously local Liverpool businesses as well. Let's see if we can get one more question in before we go, Chris. Let's make a general noise until it happens. No, that's not a good one. This is a good. Here we go. No, that's terrible. Keep talking, Chris. Kill some dead air for me. Got it. Johnny Mountford. If you had to live with a Liverpool player for a weekend, who would it be and why?
For a weekend?
Yes.
A full weekend, start to finish, including the football.
Meet up on a Friday night after work. Do what you got. And what would you do with them?
I mean,
ignore the footy.
I mean, Bobby likes to dance.
I'd
go for a dance with Bobby.
I would dance on an Instagram video with Bobby Firmino. Yeah, exactly. And I'd also stick my tongue down his wife's throat.
Yeah, absolutely do a bit of that. Like, I'd have to probably get some kind of fake teeth or something like that, just to, you know, because he's got a lot of followers.
I think if you painted them, I think you've got the just shape paint
them,
for it. Like.
Just paint them white.
Yeah.
Sound.
I think that's what he does, to be honest.
Yeah, well, maybe. I think Bobby's a good shout, because I think Saturday night would be fun with Bobby Firmino. Like, and whether he goes out to a discotheque or anything like that, I'm not 100% sure. I'm there, and I want to wear cowboy boots.
You get in the yes, not, and then end the night in nothing but them. I think you get the South American Hispanics in as a free hit with Bobby Firmino as well. So you're getting Phil, and you're getting Alberto Moreno in there, and maybe Lucas is not playing, he maybe flies over for the weekend and what have you. I think you're getting a good party. And look, Jose Enrique's retired now. Maybe he's looking for something to do. Maybe he jumps in for a bit of a giggle.
FIFA, wouldn't he?
Well, you know, that's how you wind your night down, you know. Or maybe kick it off.
I'm planning to wind my night down for.
in
bring me
cowboy
boots for fucking nothing, mate.
I think Bobby Firmino was a good shout for that. And I'm struggling to think of any. You know what, actually? It's probably Lallana and Hendo to go there. Just nip off the slippers once the form is.
Fly down to Bournemouth.
I don't know.
As a surprise shout, James Milner. Just want to see what he gets up to. I want to see if he puts his slippers on and his pipe and all that and wears a dressing gown or whatever on a Saturday night. Like, you would think he does, but I reckon it's always the quiet ones, Paul. It's always the quiet ones, right?
Okay. I've actually got a great question to end us on, actually. Rush Will 5. Would you rather fight one bear-sized chicken or 10 chicken-sized bears?
I would rather fight 10 chicken-sized bears.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Why would
that.
You do that?
Because I feel like I could kick them in the head and kill them. I just don't think I could kill anything that was bear-sized.
I don't understand chickens. I've got a bit of a thing about them.
Right, what do you mean by don't understand chickens?
They just essentially just...
Their behaviour, their look.
...shit and eat all the fucking time. And they eat their shit because it's there in front of them. They just peck and peck and shit and peck and peck. And I think if you had a bear-sized one of them, it would scare me a little touch. Whereas the 10 bear-sized...
But a bear-sized chicken is just like a fucking small angry dog, isn't it?
A bear-sized chicken is not like a small angry
chicken-sized bear, sorry.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, you're, but then again, you're not cool with dogs, particularly.
I'm not. No, but it's the fucking huge chicken that I'd be scared of.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because I'd take the fucking big one. I wouldn't want the big one.
Okay, yeah, that's the.
Imagine a chicken that's the fucking size of a bear, Paul.
Yeah, that'd be a fucking huge chicken.
That'd be a fucking huge chicken. I don't understand them when they're fucking this big.
I just don't think there's any that big. I have this thing about animals that have no cognizance.
I don't understand chickens.
I think you could reason with a dog. Like, and I think you can just...
Why are you bringing dogs into this?
Just let me get into this.
Like, it's about small bears.
There are certain animals that have a degree of intelligence that they can be reasoned with. And I think chickens
aren't one.
Chickens are not an animal that can be reasoned with.
No.
Oh, my God. So
Did I ever tell you about the rabbit that thought it was a chicken? There was this rabbit and it thought it was a chicken.
Is this the sum total of the story?
Well, yeah.
Did you have it in the...
Okay.
So I was watching one of these Fail Army videos, and long-time listeners to the podcast and watchers of the YouTube channel, that
what episode
know,
are we on now?
several. That I have a thing about giraffes.
Yeah. And I have no problem with giraffes per se, but
I've seen
I,
them fight, lad.
But here's the thing. This is what I'm coming to.
Game as badgers.
Is that I was offered the chance in Busch Gardens in America to give a bit of greenery to this giraffe, and I went, get that stuff away from me, because why? Like I'm mad. I'm like, I'm not mad, but I'm just not going to be the first person who meets the world's first carnivorous giraffe.
You seen that guy over there recording it on his fucking Nokia 3210 or whatever? I don't want to end up on Tinder.
I'm not going to be on some low resolution fucking 50 million
Bluetooth video that's getting sent around.
But I was watching Fail Army, and I thought we'd seen that moment. There was a guy stood in front of a giraffe, and I was going, what happened here? And basically, all it was the giraffe tried to kick him, and he ran away. But I did think for a moment, like, all my fears had been vindicated, essentially. I digress. I don't like animals that are bigger than me that I can't reason with.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And there's very few, you know, I'm a big animal. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things, I'm a pretty big animal myself. So anything that's bigger than me, not keen on.
You don't like rhinos?
No.
No, I don't think you could reason with a rhino.
I don't think you could reason with a rhino. And I think we've also developed the name of our first kid's book as well.
What?
You can't reason with a rhino by Usborne or whatever. No, so I would definitely go with the small bears.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not into them big chickens. Lad.
Fuck a giant bear chicken. I mean, don't, not literally. That would be weird. Okay, I feel like we might have lost this one.
Whiteless birds as well. Why? How has that happened?
Well, I don't know. We are up for a Northwest Football Award, and based on this podcast, I've got no fucking idea why.
also, there's no podcast awards. What's that about?
No, I know. Well, yeah, well, but
because we would have done the double.
We could have done the double.
Would have.
We could have, would have, should have.
We're
up for a Northwest Football Award. Not for our podcasting, but for being a fan TV channel. We're up against Full Time Devils, Toffee TV, and the, I think now, defunct Blooming Rising, which should make that easier, but fuck it. We need everyone to vote. We're going to put the link in the description if you listen to us on Acast or iTunes or Podbean or Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Or the repmtv.com. Then you can click the link. You can vote. You can also vote for Sadio Mane. You can vote for Trent Alexander-Arnold in the senior and young player categories, respectively. And you can vote for Liverpool ladies players as well. We want a clean Liverpool sweep, but more importantly...
But we don't really care about any of that.
But more importantly, we want to win. We want to win. I want to celebrate with Sadio Mane, is all I'm saying. I want to do a celebration. I want him to come up three paces behind me and do something very similar. I want to see if that happens. I want to see if we can influence him. But yeah, it's coming up. The voting is going for a couple of weeks. But get your votes in now. Let's get a good solid bank of votes in the bank, and then we can. I just want to smash Full Time Devils because they're Manx. I want to smash Toffee TV because I really like them, but I can't have Everton beating us. I can't have them beating us. So no, please do it.
That'll be this, isn't it?
Yep, it is indeed. If you haven't done so already, leave a 5-star review. It means the world to us if you do that. If you're in the vicinity of an area on an app that will let you do that, that would be great. And also, as we mentioned, there's more podcasts. The Final Wear podcast is out. It's going to be a Reds News Roundup podcast. There's going to be another Final Wear podcast after Sevilla. So if you like podcasts, which you must do because you're listening to this.
And if you got this far,
you hate yourself.
Maybe we should do this at the beginning of the show.
You know, you're the diehard. If you're still listening, you're the diehard, and you know we love you. Go to the redmentv.com, subscribe. It's free for the first month, and it's £5 a month. You get 5-odd podcasts a week, which is like 20-odd podcasts a month, plus loads of extra video content, exclusive stuff, and it helps make the free podcasts a thing. So if you want to support the Redmen TV, become a Redmen TV supporter. Yes. Have I lost you?
No, I'm just waiting for you to finish.
Shut up. Shut up, let's go home. Thanks for listening. Walk on.